Dear brother and sister, masters, when they come here to dwell in us love of God. When they leave this chain of the earth, these formations come into being, the main purpose of which is that many people may derive benefit from the formations in which practical people would guide them to love God. So purpose of joining any religion is what? We should love God. He is the creator of all creation, universe. He dwells in every heart. But here, there, somewhere He is manifest too. So where He is manifest, that is called world made flesh. So long as they are amongst us, they are overflowing with the love of God, and by radiation too we have something to start with. And they give us also how to contact with God and have love for Him. You find there so many, we follow so many religions. All of them, they love God, they worship God. But God is the same one. It is not that the Jews have got another God, or Christians some other God, or Mohammedans some other God. God is one and the same. And the same we do love. And this we are told by all masters who came in the past. So there are thousands of people, you see, amongst all these, main purpose is to know God. So we are all lovers and devotees of a higher power, called by so many names. These names are given by us for God, as I explained to you yesterday. So thousands of lovers there are, but the beloved is one for all, is it not? You got, Krishna have got another God to love him, and others have got another. No, there is only one God. He whom we desire is the beloved of the whole world, and the one God of all men. Not specifically for one religion or the other, not monopoly of any sect, religion or the other. He is for all. And we are of the same essence as that of God, and we have to unite Him. Ever since we have been separated, we have forgotten Him, truly speaking. Because we are under great delusion, as I explained to you the other day. So God is one for man, for all creation, and all the devotees have the desire to meet that very same one God, is it not? Those who really desire Him are truly speaking His true relatives. Yes? So those who love God, they are all joined in true relation to God, isn't it not? And that person who tells us about Him, about God I mean, truly He is our brother and our friend. So He joins us in such a relation with God. He unites us with God and joins us in such a relation which cannot be broken in this world and the world hereafter. So within each master soul, there's one thing, how can we derive benefit from such master souls, are world-made adept, world-made flesh. So when you need master soul, you find the great devotion for his guru. And without this devotion, none can have realization. You see, because the master of this, he has seen God. And we have not yet seen God. So we can only have devotion to God when we see him. Until we see that world made flesh before us. So Christ told his followers, I am the vine. He are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So there are branches, a fruit-growing tree. He is there, and the branches are embedded with the tree. They can bear forth fruit. If you cut off the branches, then they cannot bear fruit. The purpose of God is manifested in him. And when you are attached and joined to him, naturally that love will flow through you. Those are not one with the master, they are not at that privilege. So devotee cannot do without the guru, to defect. A child cannot do without the mother when born. He wants milk. It's a mother who gives him milk. So it means that as long as one is not truly joined to one's guru or master, one cannot be his devotee. And furthermore, cannot become a true devotee of the Lord. Although we do not see God, but we see reflections in the Master, in the Guru. And we have some reflections also as we see it. For instance, the storm has ever been in strength. We have not seen the strength, but the man who has dwelt that strength, we do see him. That strength radiates from the Rashtra. You see? So Guru precedes God. For we have not yet seen God, and we must become as subtle, as fine as he is. We can know he is the subtlest of the subtlest. Unless you become so much subtle as he is, only then we can know God, see God. So for that reason, to enable so, to do so, each man has looked from his own level, you see. So our eyes are, you see, physical. Now in the air, because air is subtle, our eyes are physical. Now if you see there's nothing in the atmosphere, because either our eyes be so subtle as air it is, or whatever in the air that is magnified to come up to our level of eyes, only that can be seen, is it not? Take the example of a microscope. So if you see through it, that magnifies everything for 700 times more. If you see through it, you will find the atmosphere full of tiny microbes, which even now exist, but we do not see. So the eye has not dwelt the ability to perceive those subtle expressions of life. Similarly, God is as subtle, subtlest as the subtle, as high as he is. If he raise ourselves to that level, only we are able to see Him, not before. So if man is not as high as God, then what is his first step? A guru precedes God. For God manifests in the guru. And from man's level, he therefore comes before God. From the level of man, who is better? Because in Hindu God is manifest, it is there but not manifest. So naturally we are drawn to that. God sends such like masters in which He manifests Himself for the guidance of others where He is not manifest. So God, He is God-man, God plus man. Because God is manifest in Him. If a disciple truly becomes a guru man, he also becomes God man. You follow God? So God man is God plus man, God in man, or man in God. And you become God man. Disciple becomes a guru man. Naturally you become God man. So unless one sees, how can one meditate upon it? How can a person put all his attention on that which he has not seen? So firstly, devotion to the Guru is very necessary. That's the first step, Guru Bhakti, devotion to the Guru. Guru is God in man. Manifest is God in man. Word made flesh. So first step comes to that. Mind that, what is Guru? Our Master. So the Guru is not the body, Master. The Guru is the God in Him which is manifest. What is word made flesh. Guru Nanak asked, who is your Guru? He said, Shabd Guru. My Guru is Shabd. Shabd is God water, you know. God is a Shabd. When He came to expression, that is called Shabd, and that is called the whole creation. God is wordless. When it came into being, into expression, into manifestation, that is called Word. In the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, and Word was God. And the whole creation came into being after that. So what is Word made flesh? You see? That comes first to guide the man, here the Word within you. He can manifest that very Word within each man, which is now not manifest. So what is the first step is, Guru precedes God, for God is manifest in the Guru, and from man's level, he therefore comes before God. He is God-man, God plus man. If a disciple truly becomes a guru man, he also becomes God man. So unless one sees, how can one meditate upon Him? How can a person put all his attention on that which he has not seen? Can you think of what you have not seen? People say, we meditate on God. What God whom you have not seen? Without seeing, how can you meditate on Him? So Master come to that Word is made manifest within you. The outer expression of the soul is attention. It is now identified with this body and all outside. So much so we have forgotten. We cannot differentiate ourselves from the body or from the world. So Master or Guru, what does he do? He withdraws our attention from all outside and from the body below, raises us to the eye level, which is the seat of the soul in the body, from where we are living the body below. So he helps, you see. So that power is the Guru. World makes sense. Kabir was asked, where is your Guru? He said, my Guru is above the eye level, which is seen, not before. So he is not the body, he manifests in body. So main thing is then, Guru is that power which is manifesting upon a human pole, and as such is never born, never dies. Body does live. One bulb is fueled, the other bulb is put on. The light in him is the Guru. This is a point very subtle to be understood clearly. So unless all masters have taken up the body and then left it, and we must also do the same. So Guru is not the body and the disciple is not the body. Is not the body. Disciple is conscious entity, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness, and Guru, that consciousness is manifested in him. And that power, what works through the physical form, never dies. So Brahma speaks through the body. Without the body, what can Brahma say? We are at the human level. If God speaks from above, from the higher heavens, you think, do you believe in anything? He is world made, he needs some body to work so. For the guidance of those who have bodies. But the pole to which he is manifesting is also irrespective, regarding as Guru. Sri Krishna analyzing the Guru in man. We respect him as such. All the things the Guru also conscious that is. That power is in him is the Guru. So never any master never said that I am the Guru. He said God is the Guru. God does it. My master does it. So the pole to which he is manifesting is also called the Guru, because he is manifesting there. Devotion must of necessity start with the body. Whom you are not seeing, how can you have any devotion for him? Here is a bulb. See light. If there is no bulb, then can you have love for our devotion for the light? No. So my purpose is to submit like that. Through the Guru, that power is radiating. That is working through him. You know, eyes are the windows of the soul, through which our soul peeks out. So in master, his life, you see, we see in him a glimpse of what is manifesting in his eyes, look into his eyes. In whatever color, in whatever that soul behind in the average man also, that radiates that thing within him. If a man is just serious, excuse me, he radiates lust. He is loving, then he radiates love. If he is anger, then he radiates anger. Out of the abundance of all, man speaks. So eyes are the windows of the soul through which the soul peeps out. If a soul is intoxicated with God, that is that intoxication will radiate. Those glimpses of the master raises you up to understand some higher power is there. So this raises us to a higher level. Our master used to say, you to people who wait to him at his feet, no, what is there? I'm up, look at me. Now there are two things, you see, he used to see a master, you see. Everybody sees master. There are so many masters came into the world. But the people treated him, you know? They never spoke of him. One of the disciples of Christ also betrayed him. They also looked at Christ. Similarly, the master came, people, very few who derived full benefit of the master. So looking around won't do. Looking is just look into the eyes where that light is radiated, that will raise your soul up. That will give you an infection. This one is only meeting, one is just identifying oneself with him. We are soul to be identified, the soul radiating through the eyes of the master. So it is said that if you look into the eyes of others, the higher intoxicated radiation will raise you up. And you are all sins to the master. So the importance of this Guru. As I told you, God can have manifested without the body. And to teach other people, the man who are in the body, he must go through somebody. And that power manifesting in him, that radiates through eyes. So that means what you know? Just radiating. Look into the eyes which are the radiating that divinity or that intoxication with which his soul is imbued. That is why I say one-third is learned by the word of mouth and two-thirds by receptivity. That comes only when you have full loving devotion, when nothing remains between you and the master. You think master has a body, what you will gain? That is what Kabir says, you think the master has a body, well, he will go to the lower place. Lord, found the body. So, bhakti or devotion to the Guru has been stressed by all masters who came so far. That's the first step. To have the two-thirds of these teachings which they come to be. Christ taught the same thing. I quote to you, I am the vine, thou art the branches. If the branches are embedded in the vine, they bear fruit, full fruit. So he said, you cannot do without me. Mark the words. All masters said so. Saint Paul echoed this very thing when he said, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Two become one. As I told you, God-man is one, is man in God, man plus God, or God plus man. And you become Guru-man then, you become God-man. There is a mirror, the light radiated here. You do not see the mirror, but you see the light. You can see the light, we draw the full benefit of the light in that. Try to follow what I am placing before you. This is something practical. Why all masters impressed on Guru Bhakti, devotion to the master. Hafiz explained that his heart was so full of the beloved that the thought of his being altogether gone. He says, my self is so much suffused with the Guru that I have forgotten who I am. I see it is he. Not now I, but Christ is in me. This is the first time to derive full benefit from the Guru. He is God-man. If you become Guru-man, then you automatically become God. He also says, I am become the body, man tan shavam, to jaan shavim, in Persian he says, I am the body, I may become the body, you have become my life. They should not say afterward that you and I are two different people. These are the things given by the masters to enable us to derive the full benefit of their company. Simply abiding by commandments, that the first step, one third you will have it, two third you will have it only when you dwell receptivity. When you feel that you are, I know, you feel easier. So all masters say the same thing in various physiological. At another place, Hafiz says, I have been grafted to my friend, to my guru. Grafted. You know what is meant by grafted? If a branch of one tree is embedded into the another tree, the fruit will be of that very tree, mother tree. But the perfume and the taste will be of the mother tree. There are subtle fine questions which try to understand why masters have given this devotion to the Guru as the foremost thing to have full benefit of God. So Hafiz says, I have been grafted to my Guru. When you graft two branches, what happens? The fruit from that appears to be the same, but the color and fragrance is that of the mother tree. Don't you feel like that? Nowadays, you see all these grafting going on with one tree or the other. One is grafted to the Guru, then there's no fear of anything. From then on, there's no birth, no death, no more coming and going and creating. Because Guru doesn't die. He never leaves it to the end of the world. He's not the body. We take him as body to start with. This is the first step. Unless you lose a limb, he loses you, manifesting you, and you are no more. You feel like that. It is I, not now I, but Christ is in me. I give you other examples too, to follow what is what. These are subtle points to be understood, and given up by all masters who came in the past. So you'll find no illusion, no negative power, for one is drawn into the very nectar of life. What is God meant? He is the nectar of life. He is the bread of life. He is the nectar, I mean, of Naam, of world. Once it so happened, Ramakrishna was sitting and there was one plate full of honey. He asked Vivekananda, look here, you are a bee from which you eat this honey. He said, I'll eat from the side. Then why? Because my wings may not be, much so that I may die. Then it always looks very, it is the sea of immortality, plunge headlong into it. So what is Guru? You follow me, my point. He said, Guru is not the body, the power manifested him is the Guru. And he manifests him, draws your all attention from outside and gives you contact with that. So plunge headlong into it. Anyone who has done this has no fear of death. So when you know a Guru, you become a Guru. Surely. Valira Vali Vishnathan. He still remains no more. So what is the criterion? If a man has become such, he grafted with the Guru, I'll give you criterion. Put the same question to the Guru. And the same question to the disciple. He's living 100 miles away. He will reply the same words, in the same words.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of a talk called Devotion to the Guru, given by Master on November 10, 1972, in Vancouver, Canada. Our reader this evening is Sheila Gilmore.
Good evening. I'm reading tonight a talk that was given at Salon Ashram in Hindi originally, and it was translated by Sat Sandesh staff. It's in the April 74 Sat Sandesh, and it was given the title, What Have You Become? When studying the lives of the great masters, what purpose do we find in them? They show us an example, and seeing such an example, we should pattern our lives upon theirs. Ages go by. Man hears the same words again and again. But in a practical way, how much have we learned? When a school teacher writes the words on the blackboard, the child copies them, carefully trying to make his letters as beautiful as the teacher's. Eventually, he succeeds. The words of the masters are the recorded examples of those who realized the great love, and you are all here to realize that same love. How did the masters get this realization? One by one, the accounts and descriptions of their experiences are given out to you, hearing which a deep enthusiasm swells up and a yearning is born within one to become like those masters. Is it not so? There is but one way to achieve this noble aim. Love thy Lord, O mind. Love thy Lord. This love is innate in our soul. It is one with our inner true self. For God is love, and the soul is the entity of that love, and so is the very form of that love. Consequently, its nature is to attach itself to something. It should have attached itself to the Supreme Lord, but instead connected itself to the world at large. It is said, wherever one's desire, there one is. And since we left the Lord's lap, we have not, up to now, returned to it. Had we done so, our entire condition today would be very different. Ages have passed, and today we are still sticking on ourselves the labels of caste, religion, social status. Furthermore, through those ages, we have at times been leaders or managers in various walks of mankind's society, but where has it led us? We were busy teaching others and learning nothing ourselves. Where is God? Where is he not? All that we can see is his manifestation, and the nearest approach to him? He is in every being, and those who say that they have love for God but do in fact hate any of their fellow beings, who are all God's entities, are nothing but liars. In truth, how can anyone love one whom he has never seen? He who has had no connection with God and has never enjoyed the happiness of that cannot love anything so remote. Real love is the only thing which holds any value. Without love, O man, there is no tranquility in this world or the next. If there is no love in the home, there's conflict, simply through the lack of love. In religions, in different sections of the community, among countries, one with another, in all phases of life, you will find conflict because love is lacking everywhere. Take just a pinch of love and put it in the household. It will be filled with peace. Put a little love in among a group of workers, and they will start loving one another. Religions and sects can enjoy peace together by incorporating love into their relationships. And the same principle applies to the countries of the world. Love is lacking everywhere. And if there is no happiness here, how can one expect to find it in the beyond? All masters have said that God is love, and the way back to Him is also through love. The true purpose behind ritual and custom was to develop love in us. They were designed to do this work. Guru Nanak said very bluntly, "Burn all customs through which the beloved is forgotten." He also said, "O Nanak, that worship is good through which love for the Lord is enhanced. Only that love or worship has any value in which the Lord is remembered. If our love for God increases through meeting one another, it is all right. If not, what is the use?" One master even says that we should throw hundreds of books into the fire if necessary, and should make our heart a garden of flowers of love. What kind of flowers? The words which are being placed before you are flowers from the Lord's garden. The big question is, in what way have you developed? Others may have developed spiritually, but what have you become? Love only gives. It does not take. This is a criterion of love, for love knows no returns. There is another criterion. It knows service. Service without show. Further indication of love is to sacrifice oneself in service, without any show or ulterior motive, like a living martyr who lives only for the love of God. Now, from where can such love be got? That true love is within us, but it has become bound up with the outer world through us, the attention. In attention, there is love. It is the very nature of attention. When expressed toward outer things, this love turns into attachment. But if it withdraws from outside and goes into itself, it becomes whole again. Everything wishes to go toward its natural source, and the source of the soul is God. The flame of a candle rises, even if it is turned upside down, for its source is the sun. We must understand these things and from where our help will come. When Namdev's family told him to bring a carpenter to repair the balcony, he forgot this errand because he was all day in deep remembrance of the Lord. For 3 or 4 days, the same thing happened. The connections of the heart are serious enough, but when the soul itself becomes connected, the result is overwhelming. So, finally, Namdev's people became very annoyed with him for his continued failures to bring a carpenter and threatened to beat him if he failed again. Namdev gave his solemn vow that he would do his duty the very next day. But when the day dawned, he once again forgot everything in remembering God. Seeing his devotee's plight and the threat hanging over him, God, in his great benevolence, came himself as the carpenter and repaired the balcony. That evening, when Namdev returned home and saw that the balcony had been repaired with such beautiful workmanship, he knew that his beloved had performed a task. The saying states that only a bulbul, which is a bird with a distinctive call, can understand the language of another bulbul. Only a true lover of God can recognize the Lord's hand at work. And when the people asked him what payment his carpenter expected that they might also employ him, Namdev told him that his carpenter did not work under those conditions, but rather demanded true love as his wages. Break away from family and all associations, then my carpenter will come. He comes when one withdraws one's attention from all other things. Why should he come just by summons? Between him and you stand your children, your friends, money, pride, ego. It does not mean that he does not have love for all his children. That love does come when you have withdrawn your love from all other things. So now, please ask yourself, how successful have you been? I do not mean this sighing and nodding as if you are intoxicated with ecstasy or other outer demonstration of show. I mean, what have you become? What is it to realizing the Lord? Just uproot the attention from here and plant it there. Very clearly, both the learned and the unlearned alike can do this work, the work which must be done. It is the very bread and water of life. If there's no gasoline in the tank, how can the motor start? We know that God comes when we really want him. He comes to the one who has true yearning for the Lord. Ask yourself, do you really desire God? Be honest about it. If the answer truly is yes, then without your calling him, he will come, for he would like to meet someone who wishes to meet him. It is a natural inclination that a person likes to have the attention of someone. But if you have no desire for him, neither will he desire you. Do you understand this? In love, the tongue becomes very gentle. It catches hold of the other person's heart and drags it. A really love-filled glance can even affect a stone. Masters say very revealing things sometimes. Lord Krishna once remarked that he had a pain in his stomach, the cure of which could be effected by the heart of a living person, and he told one of his closest devotees to get such a heart from somewhere, otherwise he would die. The devotee was so concerned, he ran at once and began searching from house to house, but no one was willing to cut his heart out and give it. All day he searched and searched until finally at night, exhausted and desperate, he came to the house of a prostitute. When he told her of his mission, she said, "All right, here, take it," and thereupon cut out her heart and handed it to him. At once he ran with the heart to Lord Krishna and sank at his feet. Lord Krishna said, "Oh, you finally found one person who loved me enough to give her heart. But what about yourself? Are you not a living man with a heart? And are you not supposed to be my closest devotee? You can judge for yourself who was the more devoted of the two, the disciple or the prostitute." Everyone talks about how devoted they are to God, but what about their lives? Where there is love, there is peace, happiness, stillness, and an ever-present attraction toward the Lord, a constant remembrance. What is love anyway? That is love through which remembrance of the beloved goes on without a break. Helplessly through that attraction, the lover is changed into that very attraction. If for only a short time I forget you, my beloved, it seems like 50 years. In love, the lover and the beloved become one. And in that oneness, all differences are forgotten. This is why God is described as being love itself, and love is God. And he in whom that love is manifested is an overflowing cup of that nectar of life. Such personalities are said to be overflowing cups of the nectar and color of love, in the company of which the yearning is developed. Overflowing cups of intoxication. The intoxication of Nam, O Nanak, inebriates day and night. Through this, radiation can be imbibed, but not by those who love the body and the world. Masters are like huge magnetic mountains, but if the iron is covered with mud, it cannot be dragged. Remove all the mud and it will jump towards the magnet. The pull can work from even thousands of miles. You are all sitting here, but where have you reached? You preach. You demonstrate your great devotion. You act and pose. But how much love have you got? You almost kill yourselves fighting one another. This is not love. In love, there's cooperation, and those who really love the Lord will naturally have love for all other beings. Is it not a natural sequence that whoever loves the Father will love his children? It may be possible to love the children without loving him, but not vice versa. Masters give the most valuable advice. O mind, love the Lord. O mind, love the Lord. Also, hear ye all, I tell you the truth. God is realized by one who loves. They who learn how to love realize the Lord. The worldly people waste their time sleeping, but not the lovers of God. Guru Arjan says, sleep does not come to me. How then do such people pass the night? They spend the night in sighing, for to them, one single day of separation is like thousands of years. What use are all rituals and customs and outer modes of worship if one does not achieve this condition? A certain poet writes, O mathematician, you have calculated many complicated things, but have you ever calculated the length of one night of separation? One master says, no sleep in the eyes or peace in the body, for he comes not, nor writes. O friend, if I do not see my beloved, then how can I live through this dark night? Through the dark night, the lover sits awaiting, and if that spark of light appears, it becomes Id. Id is a Muslim holy day, the advent of which is determined by the new moon. So through the dark night, the lover sits awaiting, and if that spark of light appears, it becomes Id. This light is an indication of his coming. The masters make it possible for those who are blind to see the light of God. Hafiz Saib describes it as the thief of the heart, coming in the darkness with a lighted lamp in his hand. So, read, think, and digest all this. How much of your life has been given to your development? If the development is there, then all right. Otherwise, you are not making the best use of your precious time. How many people have had the great blessing of meeting God, animate in physical form, during their lifetime? No doubt, the guru and the disciple are one, like the guru is me and I am the guru. But there is great intoxication in the outer attraction of the guru, double attraction, in fact. He is a man like us, sympathetic to our suffering just as a friend. Also, there is the radiation. A friend can be recognized no matter what clothes he wears. And Guru Angad Sahib goes as far as to say, die in the beloved's presence, but cursed is the life without him in this world. I have said before, love knows service and sacrifice. These are ideals being given to you. Love knows giving, giving in service and in sacrifice. What have we done up to now? Farid is not afraid of his youth passing as long as love for the beloved does not pass away, for many lives without love have withered away. What is youth? If you eat and drink, you're healthy. What more is youth? We should be concerned with what the soul says, and the soul's food is love. Masters are sometimes very open. O Lord, you are our friend, but why have you kept us far from you? We have sacrificed everything in your name. Now, without you, there is no life. Who are we, in fact? We are soul. When we forgot this identity, we became the body. Your residence is different, loved one, but you've tied yourself to matter. Similarly, Guru Nanak prays, you reside in the true home, and I am one with matter. It is a prayer of the soul. Imprisoned in this matter, I cannot reach you and do not even know the path that will lead me to you. Also, as a prayer to those who have reached him, O brothers, tell him of my condition. Such desperate pleas are a sign of love for the Lord. Rain comes after the clouds form, and very far from God is he who has no tears of separation in his heart. One may be a fine lecturer, or be intellectually advanced in other ways, or a good administrator, or have many other talents, but alive is he in whom the Lord resides. O Nanak, without him, no one is alive. The fact can be explained in many different ways, but the crucial question remains, what have you become? Regard the animal with head toward the earth, O man. Your head is high, after all. Nature has made the animals spend all their lives with head down and their attention always toward the earth. This is not their fault. But man, with his head upright, should keep his attention aloft toward higher things. Animals fight each other with their horns, etc. When man does this, the outer form is of man, but the habits are of an animal. Pawal Das Ji describes man as an animal with mustache and beard. Will he remain an animal always? When will he become a true man? A man is he who is the image of love, he who lives for all mankind. Only an animal lives for himself, and he who lives for the Lord will automatically live for others with a give and take attitude. If service is being performed, it should be selfless. Bringing happiness to others is really bringing happiness to oneself. Live for others, and they will love you. You may have done so much worship and devotion, but if your life is not like this, then no matter to which sect or religion you belong, you are very far from home. Some people light a lamp at the bedside of a dying person. Light the lamp while you live. And what is the use when those in whom this light has been lit do not maintain it? Reformers are wanted not of others, but of themselves. Know ye that example is better than precept. We do go on advising others to do this or do that or go to the master, but ignoring our own lives, we who do go to the master do not practice what we receive from him. Without love, O man, there is no peace. not in this world, nor in the next. How much philosophy is needed for this? It matters not if a man be literate or illiterate. This is a subject for everyone. Change your way of living. Excuse me, but our home, our body, is very filthy. What could God do? He is calling, "My children, come to me." But he is alone, and he wishes us to go to him all alone. Everything, body, mind, intellect, pranas, must be left behind. Ask your heart if it really desires God. What harm is there in asking? You can take a day, 2 days, even a few more, to find out what really lies in your heart. And if you do desire the Lord, you will get him. Many people desire God for business purposes. As Christ said, they have their reward. My beloved resides in each being. No place is without him. But I rejoice in that one in whom he is manifested. Wherever he is manifested is worth worshiping. We may not have actually seen him in each being, but we have read and heard the words of the masters that he is the very life sustainer in all life. Why then so much hatred of one another? Seeing all this, in the twilight of my life, I have turned toward the man center, Manav Kendra, which is a big revolt against all these conditions. Masters tell us to think of all mankind's caste as one. Guru Nanak said, "This puppet, this body, is of 5 elements in which the invisible is playing. You came into this body to get the everlasting elixir of life from the Guru. The purpose for which you came, that Amrit, is given by the Guru. Open your ears and listen carefully. Rise above outer garbs, or else cunning ways and ashes of repentance will follow. No fruit will be got from these. You cannot buy life everlasting with hypocrisy. If you believe in Islam, then become a true Muslim. If you believe in Sikhism, then become a true Sikh. Out of I-hood, brother is fighting brother. I am a Hindu, I am a Sikh, I am big, he is small, I am an intellectual, I am this, I am that. Brothers, become human. A true human being is full of love and compassion. What share of this humanity do you have? This is seen only by your actions and not by empty words, boasting, or intellectual prowess. Read year by year, month by month, all through life with each breath, O Nanak. Mere reading alone will not give you the elixir of life. When the masters say that it is like a donkey laden with books, we can see just how much value they place on philosophies and bookish knowledge. This does not mean I am against reading. I have read a lot myself, biographies of great men, and whatever I have understood from that reading, I am placing before you. I think I have read the words of more than 300 great masters. Keep the example of even one before you, and then become whatever you aspire to. What is the difference between the masters and you? See that you make a definite decision. If not today, then tomorrow. Or take a few days. When your decision is made and you know what you want to become, then daily change and grow nearer to that achievement. You people do not want to benefit from your diaries. What is the purpose behind keeping the spiritual diary? If you keep it accurately, you will gain inner benefit. For will not that water which has no dirt give a crystal clear reflection? When the waves of the mind are legion, filled with ego and pride, there is no knowledge of Shabad, no love for the Nam. After more than 70 years of searching, Guru Amar Das concluded, "Curse on the life in which there is no love for the Lord. If, after getting the blessing of this human birth, no love for the Lord has been born in us, then shame 1,000 times upon our life." He added that even the work we do is cursed if it does nothing to help develop our love for the Lord. And then he also gives the cure for the malady, love a Satguru, through which a love for the Lord is created. Sit beside the overflowing cup of love. You will get peace if you are receptive. But how much will you get if you are covered with many layers of dirt? This is the reason why many people gain nothing in the Master's presence. All right, I'm going to stop there. I will pick up the next time I read from that point. I'm reading from the April 74 Satsang Desh, the Master's Talk, which was given the title, What Have You Become? Thank you for listening, and thank you, Master.
And thank you for reading for us, Sheila. There were 55 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, Master, for providing this for us. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
So, Lord Master, they say the same thing. And that power never leaves us. That is called Christ power, God power, or Guru power, or Master power. That never leaves us till the end of the world.